Welcome to God, Sex, and You, a daily discipleship podcast on healthy sexuality. Here's your host, Purity Pastor Dustin Daniels.
We have been discussing unhealthy thoughts in our series titled The Sex Spiral, Forgiven and Free from Pornography. Over the past 2 days, we have learned the four false belief statements, these lies that we tell ourselves. Number one, that I am a bad and unworthy person. Number two, that no one will love me as I am. Number three, that my needs are never going to be met if I have to depend on other people. And number four, sex is my most important need. Now, yesterday, we also learned that there are four general categories of what's called our shame story. Strong person, weak person, there's the wounded person, and the godly person. Now, I'm guessing that you saw yourself in one or maybe two of these categories and how these shame stories can fluctuate depending on where you are and who you're talking to. Now, this is the cool thing. Learning to understand the power of our false belief statements that we tell ourselves, these lies that run in the back of our head like a tape, an old tape that continues to play. When those are combined with our shame story, the light starts to go on, man. This is like this huge revelation. It's a giant step forward in this journey towards purity, because you can start to understand where you are inside the sex spiral. And once you know where you are, then you can learn how to exit. So this is when we begin to really experience the weight of our shame falling off of us. I mean, these chains have bound us up for too long, right? I mean, they begin to snap one by one when we start to realize these things. And once again, we start small, we're walking slow in this, and it's one moment, one situation, one temptation, one trigger at a time. Why? Well, because the truth of who you really are is more powerful than the lies that have really held you down. In this podcast, we're going to learn how to be encouraged in this journey towards purity. We're going to look at Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, because this is not a journey of perfection. Let me tell you, it's not about being perfect. And we need all the encouragement we can get. And we're going to look at that text, and it's going to rock your world. It's so cool. Secondly, we're going to discuss this life-changing statement that I give you in the lesson itself. So let's get started. This is part 3 of 3 for unhealthy thoughts. My shame story drives me to the point of giving myself permission to act out in sin. So the question is, how do we break free from our shame story? The good news is that Jesus Christ already did that for us. Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. If you are a highlighter or underliner or writer in your Bible, this is where the focus is on how to exit the spiral. Everybody there? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He despised the shame and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So I want you guys to picture in your mind a great Colosseum. It's the Olympics. And you are in the Olympics. You're running the race. And you notice that there are observers in the stands. And they're just not any kind of observers. They're spiritual observers.
The text says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So everywhere you look, as you're getting ready to race, you see people smiling and waving and clapping, and they're encouraging you. The patriarchs of our faith, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Prophets like Moses, Elijah, and Jeremiah. The apostles, Peter, James, John, Paul. Martyrs, Stephen, Polycarp. Preachers like Luther, Calvin, Spurgeon. These guys are all in the stands, man, and they're clapping for you. And then there's your family members, your friends. They're encouraging you as you start this race. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. That term there, lay aside, it's this idea of taking off your warm-up outfit. Anything that's going to slow you down, it's this radical stripping off of everything before the race. Because that was the Greek custom in the day. But see, it's not just physical weight, it's spiritual weight. Notice that we also are to strip off any sin that easily entangles us. Sensuality certainly is our Achilles heel tonight. So this image is extreme. If we are to finish well in faith, we must strip our souls naked of every weight and sin which clings so closely to us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So now that you've radically stripped everything off, you got one thing to do. Let's run. Run like a madman, right? See, we each have our own race. You can't run mine, I can't run yours. But God will allow you to finish your specific race and me mine. Flip over to 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8.
What was that verse real quick? Hebrews 12.
12 verses 1 and 2.
2 Timothy what?
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, he says, he's at the end of his life, and he says, you know what, I've fought the good fight, and I've finished this race, and I've remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which simply means that he did things God's way. He did things the right way, God's way. The crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. So the secret, guys, is to run this race with endurance. It's don't ever, 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 ever give up, no matter how crappy or bad your day is. Don't ever give up. The psalmist writes that the mercies of God are new every single morning. Man, is that so true. So back to Hebrews 12. Looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith. It's very interesting here how the writer of Hebrews, he wrote looking to Jesus. He didn't write looking to Christ, and he didn't write looking to Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, as the Apostle Paul likes to write. He says looking to Jesus. Here, we're reminded to focus on Jesus, which means his humanity. To get our eyes off ourselves and our problems and get them back on Jesus, because Jesus perfected living by faith. In his humanity, he perfected that. He showed us how to live by faith. So looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and he despised the shame. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Look at the attitude of Jesus there. We can't fathom the physical pain, let alone the spiritual pain. But Jesus endured to despise our shame. God himself, who knew no sin, became sin. And once he was on the cross, he dismissed it like it was nothing. It's gone. And that's the way he wants us to view us now, that our shame is taken care of. He took care of our shame. So we're not going to live in our shame stories anymore. We're going to deal with those things as we go through, but we're not going to stay there. We're not going to live there. And he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Can you imagine the joy in that reunion? Psalm 16:11 says, "You make known to me the path of life, and in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore." So lastly, on your outline there is a life-changing statement. Jesus did not come primarily to stop us from sinning. He came primarily to give us a new identity so that we could and would stop sinning. Ezekiel 36:26, Jeremiah 24:7, Romans 3:24, those are all listed on your outline. These verses talk about God's new heart. Or God gives us a new heart, a new spirit. And once we have a new heart, once we've been born again and we've got our eyes on him, then we can actually make the choice to stop sinning. So we'll get into our groups. Questions for tonight: did you work your purity plan this week? What sin do you need to confess tonight? And what did you learn tonight that you can apply for tomorrow? So once again, that first question is not whether or not we're focusing on purity tonight, whether or not you sinned or you did not sin. The question is whether or not you work the plan. In other words, were you in God's word? Did you call your partner when you needed him? Did you stay, or did you call your partner at all?
Did you catch that life-changing statement? Jesus did not come primarily to stop us from sinning. He came primarily to give us a new identity so that we could and would stop sinning. Listen to this. Ezekiel 36:26. "I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and I will give you a tender and responsive heart." Jeremiah 24:7. "I will give them a heart to know that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. For they shall return to me with their whole heart." So how does God give us a new heart? Romans 3:24, "Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." So what happens when Christ Jesus forgave the weight and the debt of your sexual sin? What actually happened there? We find that the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. She's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." See, you're not just a version 2.0 of your old self, right? Jesus Christ has made you a new creation. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are actually a new creation that has a new heart, that has the Holy Spirit living inside of you? That you can actually live this life free from pornography and free in Christ? Ephesians 1:13 says this, "And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth. It's the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance that he promised us, that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and we glorify him. See, this is the reason that we praise and glorify God, is that, man, he saved us. He saved us from ourselves. He saved us from his own wrath. He has saved us from the evils of pornography. And man, we've been adopted into the family of God, where we will live forever and ever and ever. Have you ever talked to an adoptive family? I was thinking about this morning. To be able to go through all the paperwork, right? To go through the classes, to wait. To have to wait for your adoptive son or daughter. There's a longing there, right? There's an expectation there. There's a joy that these adoptive parents are going to bring into their home. And I started thinking about that this morning. It's the same way. It has to be that God longs for us to be brought into the family, that we would quit trying to do things the way that we've always done before, that we would try to do life apart from God, that we would try to find life and love outside of God and apart from him. And there's a joy to him when we say, yes, I want you as my Lord. I want you as my Savior. I must, because there is no other way and there's not. Tomorrow we begin a new lesson on temptation. And this is what we call trigger number 3 inside the sex spiral. It's interesting, isn't it, that most other recovery books or programs, they actually start with temptation. But what I will teach you is that we actually passed up 2 opportunities to exit that spiral before being tempted. We just went through them. Being aware and then going through this unhealthy thoughts stage, our shame stage. See, we had an opportunity there to exit the sex spiral by praying, confessing, and fleeing at both of those triggers. And as we go through this material, you're going to notice that we can blow through these triggers in like nanoseconds. It just happens so fast if we're not careful. And just like pornography, it can pop up on your computer and mobile devices in nanoseconds as well, right? Just when we least expect it, bam! I mean, it's just right there, and all of a sudden we get triggered. So Covenant Eyes accountability and filtering software, it will protect you and your family. Every computer, every mobile device, I've been using it for years. Everything is locked down. It's protected. My reports go to my wife, and it starts a conversation. So let me encourage you to visit CovenantEyes.com today. And when you do, you can receive a 30-day free trial when you put my full name in the promo box with no spaces. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and You. My name is Dustin Daniels, and if you're in Phoenix, hey man, I want to invite you to our weekly community group. It's for men and women, husbands and wives, single, divorced, everybody. Everybody. If you don't know Jesus, if you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus, man, you are so welcome. You're invited to listen to God with us. Every Tuesday night, 7 p.m., Northern Hills Community Church. You can follow me on Twitter, @PurityPastor. I don't know why it's so hard for me to close out the show. You can rate the show on iTunes. You can email me your questions at DustinDanielsRadio.com. 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God isn't just a lot of talk, guys. It's not about talk. It's about living in God's power. And that power is in the very name and the shed blood of Christ Jesus. I love you, and I look forward to our time again tomorrow.